when you want to be stopped in your tracks.
I'm running to shoot it. It's 50-50. You can catch his gun or he shoot you.
When you want to know the truth.
She was brainwashing her from the start.
We're here to investigate.
Something's gone wrong. Big time.
Search Background Briefing Podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Dominique Bayens, host of Season 6 of Expanse, the NANUP 4. A heads up, this episode talks about suicide. I'm dropping in again because I've got an update for you on the search to find Chantelle and Leela McDougall, Tony Popich and Simon Cadwill, aka Gary Felton. There's been some new developments. I'll fill you in soon. But first, you might remember us talking about a follower of Gary Felton's who spoke in the inquest about Simon Cadwill as she knew him, telling her about plans for a family suicide. From the coronial inquest, it sounded like she was one of the few people Gary Felton was confiding in before the disappearance. Her name is Cheryl Plochark. And from the moment I picked up this story, me and my team have been trying to get in touch. I've reached out to her over Facebook, Instagram, email and phone. Last weekend, another media outlet published an article featuring Cheryl, which seemed to have some pretty critical information about what may have happened to Chantelle, Leela, Gary and Tony. And just a warning up front here, there's some pretty heavy details coming up. In this article, Cheryl reportedly says about a year before the disappearance, Gary began talking about a planned suicide. He spoke about taking a bus somewhere and then hiking into the wilderness with a shovel and drugs. She's reported as saying Gary, Chantelle and Leela would take the drugs before Tony buried the bodies. Then Tony would go far away in a different direction and end his own life. Now, all of this so far we knew from the coronial inquest. But then the reporting goes on to say that after telling Gary he shouldn't go through with it because it would be murder, he then told Cheryl that actually only he would do it. What Cheryl reportedly says next was never recorded in the coronial inquest. She says that actually there was another follower close to Gary who knew about his plans for a group murder-suicide. The article says she won't give the follower's name, but says it was an American woman living in Scotland at the time. Apparently, she was so dedicated to Gary and the Truth Fellowship, she'd given up her relationship, her home and her savings to fund Gary's lifestyle. Sounds a bit familiar. Cheryl reportedly claims it was this woman who supplied Gary with a euthanasia drug, that she travelled to Mexico to buy it and sent it to Gary before the disappearance, under the belief only Gary would use it. Cheryl says she'd be willing to give all this information to WA police. It's a lot to take in. I can't verify any of this because Cheryl won't answer my calls, messages or emails. But if it is true, it means there were people who knew more about Gary's plans than they've ever admitted. It could also mean that there are people out there who have information which could lead to answers about where Chantelle, Leela, Tony and Gary are. I've spoken to WA police following this article, who say they're looking into it but can't give any more details except that the case remains open. I haven't been able to confirm if they knew this already or if Cheryl gave them this information when she spoke to them. As I was reading this, I felt almost winded. The first people in my mind were Jim and Kath McDougall, Chantelle's parents and grandparents to Leela. I actually called Kath after to check in. She said she and Jim were blindsided by this new information. Cheryl has never contacted them, and they'd never heard of another follower providing Gary with a euthanasia drug. But she's hopeful police will follow it up and that it might create some new leads. Kath and Jim have always believed that there are more people out there who know what happened. Given what Cheryl has said about the supposed plans of the Nanup 4, Kath says it's even more of a reason to do a thorough search in Northcliffe. You might remember retired detectives and Chantelle's uncle Barry McIntosh and family friend Peter Greaves had just started a GoFundMe to raise money to get back to Northcliffe, where they've identified an area of bushland they believe could be a final resting place. Barry's still trying to raise the funds. But a few weeks ago, I got an email from a guy called Matt.
Well, I'm Matt Strickland. I'm the vice president of the Follow organisation, which is a recently formed organisation charity. We help families look for their lost loved ones.
Follow stands for Find Our Lost Loved Ones. It's a pretty new group, but they've had a cracking start. The group formed after a team of volunteers banded together to look for a missing Belgian tourist named Celine Cremaire, who disappeared while hiking near Philosopher Falls in Tasmania back in 2023. Their search led to the heartbreaking discovery of her remains in January 2026. Matt was part of that search team.
None of us really knew each other before, but we all put our hand up, and through that experience, we formed a bit of a bond and an alliance, and we wanted to keep it going after that had all finished.
Then, 4 months later in May, in their first search under the Follow banner, they set out to find another missing person in Tasmania, a man named Peter Willoughby, who'd become lost in bushland in the state's northeast in late 2025. It took less than 2 days for them to find Peter's remains.
I'm starting to doubt that there is closure. I think it's more the fact that you're just reducing that pain and providing just some answers to that question, what happened to their family member. But at the same time, it is special to provide that. It's a gift.
Matt's got 30 years' experience working in geology and exploration, and his offer of help has been accepted by the McDougalls and Barry. It'll be the first search outside of Tasmania that he's been part of. He's quick to point out it takes months of preparation and he wants to keep everyone's expectations in check. But he's also a fast-moving guy, so within a couple of weeks he'd boarded a flight to Western Australia so he could travel to Northcliffe to see what kind of terrain he was dealing with. And on a surprisingly warm and sunny Saturday in June, me and my colleague Anthony meet Matt outside the Northcliffe General Store.
Hey Matt. Hey
Dominic. Good. How are you?
Nice to meet you. Yeah.
Yeah. Same. Thanks for coming down.
Yeah. No worries.
Matt's tall with grey hair and stubble. With his black cap and hiking gear, he's ready for action. He's come prepared with a bunch of maps for the area we're heading to.
We'll have a look.
Yeah. Yeah. Put on the bonnet here.
That shows kind of how hilly the terrain is. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, that's the contours. So you can see how steep it is through there.
After working out the best way to access the bushland, we head out. It's a bit of a drive to the spot we're looking for, and we're swapping information on the case as we drive past cow paddocks and forest.
I just got here last night, and then it kind of dawned on me, like,
what you're actually doing.
What I'm up to. The gravity of what we're trying to achieve here.
As we're driving, I'm beginning to understand what Peter and Barry were dealing with when they came to Northcliffe on that first search. There's a lot of thick bushland where I live, but down here, it's next level. We get as close to the track we're looking for as the car will take us before we pull up and walk the rest of the way on foot.
So we can either go walk around that track to get to here, which I think's fine. Or that's probably better than going straight through the bush in a direct line.
Yeah.
It's as we're headed up that we spot a large Hessian sack. Matt goes and looks inside. Then I follow and see the decomposing remains of an animal in there.
There's bones of... Yeah, that looks like a carcass of an animal. Oh, my God, that stinks.
Oh, that smells bad.
It feels like an ominous start, and I'm feeling a bit spooked. The actual walk along the track is easy, slightly uphill, but then it's time to do some bush bashing.
It's straight through there. How do you feel about going through there?
The foliage is so thick down there.
Yeah. The ground's really undulating, unless it was really obvious.
I feel like the deeper we go in here, the more it's setting in how difficult this is going to be to find anything.
We get to the area Barry and Peter have identified, and now we're here, I'm feeling pretty deflated. Looking at this bush, the thickness of the ground cover, I have no idea how anyone's going to find anything. Luckily, Matt's pretty cool-headed and is already making a plan.
It is overwhelming to see that and go, well, there's just undulating sort of terrain and ground all around and covered in this foliage and tree litter. So where do you start? But you have to start somewhere. So I would start at the point of interest, clear a track into there, and then we can just fan out and clear around it.
Matt's got some clear ideas of next steps. Over the next few months, he'll gather information, cross-reference, and pull in other expertise. And all this will be used to lock in a solid plan of action with Barry, which makes me feel like if anyone can take this on, it's him.
How does it compare to the previous searches that you've been involved in?
I mean, this is something different because we're potentially looking for buried human remains. So Barry's got some LIDAR imaging and that people are going to help him with. So we're hoping we can employ that to actually maybe see something that's man-made.
The whole reason Matt travelled to Northcliffe for this visit is so he could see the area in person and get an idea of what he's dealing with. After spending 2 hours pushing through the scrub with him, I have an entirely new and different appreciation for what this search will involve. It's going to take months of planning, but it looks like it will go ahead in late September 2026. I'll be following the progress along the way, and I'll drop back into your podcast feeds when there's another update. In the meantime, if you have any information that you think could help find Chantelle and Leela McDougall, Simon Cadwill, aka Gary Felton, or Tony Popich, please get in touch. Details in the show notes. If this episode has raised any issues for you, you can contact Lifeline 24 hours a day on 13 11 14.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.